Good morning. Before we get into service, I was going to just add to an announcement about the weekend fellowship for the teens. So Saturday night, at the end of all that, we're going to have a singing, and that's for all age groups. So anybody can come to the singing, and so just let everybody know that it's been on the slide, but it hasn't really been announced. So everybody's welcome to come to that singing on Saturday after that weekend that we're having with the young people. We're going to sing number 52, and then we'll have our first prayer. All our songs this morning have to do with God being our Father. It might be a little obvious because it's Father's Day, but got that on my mind, that He's the best example of what a father should be, and He's a perfect Father. And so all the songs have to do with that type of relationship that we have with Him. So we'll sing number 52, God is our loving Father, and then we'll have our first prayer. Do so. Our God, Creator of the universe, our God, the Lord of all the earth, we praise and magnify His glorious name. He is all the world to you and me. But
God in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day, the Lord's Day, that you've given us, that we might serve you in the best way that we know and you have taught us, and we may do it so in a manner that would be pleasing to you. We praise you in your power, in your knowledge, in your love. We realize that you are the one who spoke into existence all that we know of. Everything that we have discovered, and even those things that we have yet to find. What a blessing it is to be called your children, and that you are the creator of the universe, and that we are your creation, that you loved us enough to send your Son, and a plan of salvation that we might have remittance of sins, that we might be forgiven of those wrongdoings and be righteous in your sight. We thank you for our new sister, Nani. We thank you for her tender heart. And we ask that we might be a blessing to her and encouragement as we know that she will be to us. Help us to help her. We're thankful for every good blessing that you give us. Every good thing comes from you. And we cannot thank you enough for everything that you bestow upon us in such abundance. Help us not to take those things for granted. We're so thankful for our food, which is more than just sustenance. Our shelters, our homes, which is more than just shelter. And all the blessings, our clothes, more than just coverings. We are so fortunate to live in a country so blessed and prosperous. Again, help us not take that for granted, but be so thankful for it and work to preserve it. We're thankful for a country that allows us and sees fit to have these national holidays that honor mothers and fathers. And we're hopeful that our fathers will look to you for the example that they must be, look to your word for what they must do to be fitting in your sight and to be the best for their families. We're thankful for our visitors. We ask safe passage for them as they visit with us and on their journeys. Thankful for Brother Gant for him to be able to bring the message this morning. We pray that he would have a remembrance of those things he's prepared and that we might listen with open ears, search the scriptures, apply them to our lives. We ask your blessings on all those that are ill, especially those of our number. You know who they are and what they need, and we ask your blessings on them physically and especially those who are spiritually ill. We ask comfort for those who have lost loved ones. May they look to your word for that. And we ask your blessings on every family represented here at this building. What a loving group, and we are so thankful and blessed to be part of that group. Help us to be the ones that pull our weight and that serve you in the best of our abilities and that work diligently toward that goal of heaven in the end with you. Bless us as we sing these songs of praise and encourage one another. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth, not only this morning, but tonight again as we gather. And throughout the week, may our light shine in the community that we might help to enlarge the borders of the kingdom. We pray for those that preach the word the worldwide. Ask your blessings on them. May they enrich the church. Father, continue with us throughout the day. And we ask as always, because we are so thankful for Jesus and the sacrifice he made and what he continues to do for us as a mediator. Please forgive our sins in his name. Amen.
Our next song will be number 627 in the large songbook, Like a Little Child. Number 627.
Yeah.
Before we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love. How Deep the Father's Love.
Time has been set aside for us to remember the great sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. On the first day of the week, we're commanded to gather around this table to remember that sacrifice, to help us prepare our minds before we partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, where the Lord's Supper was instituted. It says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we come to you this time thanking you for this unleavened bread, which us as Christians represents the body of Christ who died on the cross. We have forgiveness for our sins. Lord, we pray that all this partake of this morning will do so in a way and manner that is well-pleasing in thy sight. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let us also give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord, we come at this time. Thank you for this fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians represents the blood of Jesus who died on the cross. We can forgive us for our sins. Lord, we ask that all this to protect this evening will do so in a way of mind that's pleasing thy sight. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Song before the sermon will be number 28 in the small songbook, For You Have Promised. If you will, please stand while we sing this.
Thank you.
invitation song will be number 300, I Am Coming, Lord.
He wants me to wear this. Okay, thank you. Well, good morning to all. Am I on the lawn? Okay. It's good to be here. I'm honored to have this time to speak with you this morning. Always a joy to come back to where I first moved nearly 60 years ago. That's back in the last century. And it's good to be here this morning, and we always enjoy being together with those we've known for so long. The Hancocks and Tant families, Georgia, back in the last century. And we enjoy being with a family here. I've never been with a family who had a road named after them. So the Penn Road out there, was it Hearst? Yeah. All right, so it's good to be here this morning, and I always enjoy the time with you. I had an experience, the church building, the old building, many years ago, that I've never had at another place. Sitting there one morning, and the ceiling caved in. Well, a fan just flopped down. I don't know what caused that, but it was an unusual experience that I'll always remember that we had at the time. In many of our songbooks, there's a song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. And the first stanza, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. As we look to God as our Father, as our Creator, and as we were singing the songs this morning, I wondered how the song leader picked out so many songs that kind of go in with my lesson. I don't know if he's a mind reader or what. But of course, it's Father's Day, and so it all works together. Our home congregation back in Nashville, our theme for the year is Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. And that prompted me to put together a lesson that I hope will be of some encouragement to all of us as we consider our Father. I'm sure that when we're downtown somewhere, we'll see a little child walking along, usually with mother's hand. Why is this? Why do they hold hands together? It's not that the child cannot stand or walk alone, but there are various factors, I think, that cause the little one or the mother or dad to want to hold the child's hand. And I want to consider some of these reasons for us this morning as we talk about this idea of hold to God's unchanging hand. First has to do with direction. Obviously, five-year-olds don't know their way around town. Oh, they may know their way to the candy store or to the ice cream shop, but to go to the grocery store, the drug store, the doctor's office, the grocery store, they probably don't know what's going on, wouldn't know how to find the place. So hand in hand, they walk along with mother leading the way. Is there a spiritual application for this? Obviously so. How about Jeremiah 10:23? I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. So we're not born with an inborn instinct as to find the way. It's not in man to direct our steps. We depend in that sense on our Heavenly Father. 119th Psalm, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A while back, my wife and I drove from Atlanta, Georgia, where we were living, out to Portland, Oregon, to visit our son, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This is over some 4,000 miles. We went through some places I'd never been before. So how is it that we knew how to go? How is it we knew how to find our destination over 4,000 miles away? We had a map. Of course, now you don't really need a map. You need your cell phone to direct the way for you. God has given us a map, and it's called the Bible. It's sad that in our nation, most homes probably have Bibles, but how many owners actually read and meditate upon them? It should be obvious to anyone who keeps up with the times that we're becoming a less and less religious nation, and belief in God is going downhill pretty fast. As one young woman said, "I don't need to read my Bible. My priest tells me what it says." And so people become dependent upon their pastor or their church administration to tell them what is the way, although God has given us His Word that we should go to learn the way. Christ warned about this, Matthew 15, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Then verse 14, "Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." I like Paul's attitude. Paul was an apostle of God. He had been a Pharisee, well-versed in the Scriptures. He is now inspired of God in his preaching and teaching. He came to Berea. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. What a great attitude. Here's this great preacher who knew the Scriptures very well, and yet they didn't just take it because he said so. They went home and they checked it out. And Paul was not offended. He said they did the right thing. John wrote some good words about the one who leads us. Revelation 7:17, "For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them to springs of the waters of life." Then we have the idea of safety. Safety is a part of holding on to Father's hands. And that works in two ways. It keeps them from being separated. That mother we saw holding on to a little child's hand, if someone tried to come and snatch that child away, no, she had a hold of it, not going to let go of it. And obviously it also keeps them from being separated. The little child kind of turns loose and they crowd around and wanders away and gets lost. So at least two things have to do with our safety in this. In various passages, we also have this admonition. 4th Psalm, verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for Thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety." There's the safety we have in staying with the Lord and, in a sense, holding on to His hand. Fanny Crosby, many years ago, had this song, "Hold Thou My Hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without Thine aid. Hold Thou My Hand, for then, O loving Savior, no dread of ill shall make my heart afraid." There is comfort and safety in that. And Christ made a promise to those who will cling to God's hand. John the 10th chapter, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." That's a promise. So long as we hold on to God, Satan cannot do anything to take us away. Now, we still have the free will to let go. We can do that. But so long as we hold on to God, Satan cannot do anything for us. As the nation of Israel is about to enter into the promised land many centuries ago, and they're somewhat fearful, the powerful nations that are inhabiting the land that God has promised them, and they're kind of wondering, what are we going to do? And we have the promise, Deuteronomy 7. "When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you will utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them." So God is giving them the assurance that all these nations, these powerful nations, that you have no need to fear them. Have no need to fear them because God will be with you and He will guide you all along the way. Another of our familiar songs written by Fanny J. Crosby in 1870, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." And we go on here in verse 17 through 19. "If you should say in your heart, 'Those nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do all to the peoples of whom you are afraid." Don't be afraid. In a sense, be strong and courageous. Paul's words to the church at Rome, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" And back to the Fanny Crosby song, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest." There's also comfort to be found. The world around us presents many challenges, and many live in fear from the violence, even in our own nation. We know that in other parts of the world, in some Muslim nations, they're slaughtering unbelievers by the thousands. It goes on. Day after day after day. And in our own nation, in the last few years, violence in many cities being destroyed, the Antifa and other groups. Our son and his family live out near Portland, Oregon, and Portland is kind of just a war zone. And we have no idea what the governor and the mayor of Portland has in mind as they just allow things to happen. Burning up buildings, doing all kinds of violence. And who knows what's going to come to our nation years to come. As our nation is moving further and further away from belief in God, then the agents of Satan have more power to do, in a sense, what they want to do and destroy all that is around them. But there is a remedy for this. And that is found in Christ, who comforts us in all our affliction. 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 119th Psalm. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. So there is comfort in serving the Lord, in knowing that he is our Father, and as a parent, as a mother or a father seeks to comfort their children, we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us and who gives us comfort in all our affliction. Of all of Christ's disciples, which one do you think suffered the most? I think if I took a poll that we'd all agree, it's probably the Apostle Paul. As he wrote, how many things he suffered, shipwreck, being beaten, stoned, in prison, all these violent attacks upon him throughout his service of the Lord. Consider what he wrote to the church at Corinth. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those to comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. He used the word comfort, or its derivative, some 6 times in these 4 verses. Evidently, he had a good idea of God's comfort that came to him even when he's in prison, in stocks, in bonds, beaten. And I can't think of a better time when one would need comfort than you have been beaten and you are in prison. Look at Paul's statement. Acts the 16th chapter. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. How many stripes could you receive? 39. 40 was the limit. If you went over that, then you're in trouble. So they would count 39 to be sure they didn't miss one somewhere. So, and when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received the command, threw them into prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You wonder what the prisoners were thinking. These fellows, beaten, blood running down their backs, they're fastened in the stocks, they cannot get up and move, and they're singing hymns to God and praying to God. And I couldn't think of a better time to seek God's comfort. I doubt if any of us will suffer like this. They found it within themselves to pray to God, sing praises to Him. And then there is joy. Joy. Have you ever seen a smile on a child's face when they see the father or mother from whom they've been separated for a while? Maybe this little girl, she's getting off the school bus and she sees her mother waiting for her. And so she runs to her with a big smile on her face. And then they walk together back home. Look what David said about being in God's presence. 16th Psalm, Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. Yes, we live in a world filled with troubles, sorrows, trials, violence. That's around us. I'm thankful that so many of us live basically in peaceful surroundings, yet we know there are millions on the face of the earth who do not have this privilege. Even in our nature, in our nation, many are suffering because, as we mentioned, they live in areas where there's great violence and upheavals going on day after day. And in some places, the government does nothing about it. And we wonder what's going to happen in the future. But God says, take my hand and walk with me and put a smile on your face. I like her smile. I like her smile. God does not want us going about with a sad look on our face, looking like we just smoked a pickle. That's not God's idea. And some, though, allow the trials of the life to give them this sad face, which says, woe is me. Woe is me. Interestingly, the word joy is found 170 times in the Bible, and the word rejoice 145 times. Does that give us an idea as to how God wants us to live in this world? As we endure the trials that come upon us, but we know there's something better coming for us, and we look forward with joyful hearts in anticipation of the time to come. 2 Chronicles 29:30. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord and the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. 16th Psalm. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. In your knowledge of the Bible, of all the characters that are detailed, who do you think might qualify to be the one who suffered the most? I've got a person in mind. His name is spelled with three letters. The first letter is J. Would that be Job? I think so. In a moment of time, he lost everything. Lost his 10 children as a storm destroyed the house where they were having a birthday party. His cattle were all stolen. Sheep. Most all of the servants ran off and left him. His health was destroyed. His wife, oh, what comfort she gave. Job, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die? What a comforting wife. And what was Job's attitude in all this? Job 6:10, it is still my consolation, and I rejoiced in unsparing pain, though I have not denied the words of the Holy One. In all these tragedies, in all this unimaginable loss, Job said, I rejoice, though I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What an attitude. What an attitude. That should be an encouragement to all of us. And we find Paul writing to the church in Philippi from a prison cell, and we find him also in a rejoicing spirit. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. This was written from a prison cell in Rome probably in the Mamertine prison. That place is still there. Some years ago, several of us were able to go into that prison. You go in, you go down one level, and down below ground a second level into an area that is just carved out of solid rock. Cold and dark. What a sobering thought to think that Paul was there. And as we contemplated the place, I led the group, some 20 of us, in a song, which I don't remember what it was right now. Faith of our fathers. My wife remembered. It's good to have somebody who has a better memory than you do. But faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeons. And the tears began to flow as we thought of Paul, maybe even that very prison cell, who wrote about this. That's where we were. Hard to imagine Paul's attitude in that place. So yes, there are many trials and tribulations in this life, but we anticipate what is to come. 1 Peter 1, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And we have all of this if we're holding to God's hand. And if you're present this morning and you don't have these blessings, God extends his hand to you to receive him and make him your father. The most joyful words we will ever hear will be uttered by our Lord when the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you've not been washed in the blood of Christ, why not now? Why do you wait? What is to be gained by a further delay? The time is now. If you need to return to the Lord, he is waiting for you with hand extended if you will come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
thankful for everyone being here this morning. We're especially thankful for visitors being with us. We truly enjoy having you with us, and we hope you've been encouraged by our worship and the things we studied. And we meet back together tonight at 5 o'clock. If you're available, we'd love to have you. Appreciate Brother Tant's lesson. It was very encouraging and very fitting for the day. And you can visualize the things that a child looks to their father for, and it's very good to be reminded of that, and we thank you. Anything else that needs to be announced before we close? Have our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you once again now at the close of this morning service, thanking thee for allowing us to assemble here and worship thee, the only true and living God. Father, we're so thankful for the message that we've heard this morning that reminds us of the changing world that we live in, but we take comfort in your unchanging hand. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with the ones that are sick, be with Brother Davis. May he soon find answers to his health condition. Please be with my sister Marilyn. As she recuperates in Alabama, may she find the right answers, the right surgeon for her condition. Of course, your will be done in all things. Father, we're thankful for the church, for the members that worship here at this place. May we always look to thee for truth and guidance. Father, as we depart here this morning, pray that you will dismiss us in thy care. Forgive us when we do wrong. In Christ's name. Amen.